Afterword. Birth of the Black Widowers. Isaac Asimov. One of the last books Isaac Asimov completed before his death in 1992 was the memoir I, Asimov, in which he wrote 166 essays concerning the major events and undertakings of his life. Among the topics he discussed was how he came to write mystery short stories in general and the Black Widowers stories in particular. I have always wanted to write mystery short stories. At the start, I was committed to science fiction, of course, and some of my science fiction short stories were very much like mysteries. This was true of several of my robot stories, for instance. I also wrote a series of 5 science fiction stories about a character named Wendell Earth, who solved mysteries without ever leaving home. The first of these, The Singing Bell, appeared in the January 1955 issue of the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction. The Wendell Earth stories were fun, but they didn't quite satisfy my desires. I wanted to write a straight mystery with no science fiction angle to it. I did write one in 1955, but Ellery Queen's mystery magazine, EQMM, rejected it. I finally placed it in the Saint Mystery Magazine, where it appeared in the January 1956 issue under the name Death of a Honey Blonde. It was set in a chemistry department, however, so that while it was not science fiction, I had not entirely freed myself from science. It was not a very good story, and I was disheartened. Nevertheless, the urge to write short mysteries persisted. EQMM regularly publishes first stories, usually short shorts by writers who had never published before. My chagrin finally bubbled over, and I thought, if these amateurs can do it, why can't I? So I wrote a short short on November 12, 1969, and had it in the mail 2 hours after I had thought of the idea. EQMM took it and ran it under the title A Problem in Numbers in the May 1970 issue of the magazine. But that dealt with the chemistry department, too, as for that matter had The Death Dealers, my one straight mystery novel up to that time. It irritated me. I wanted to write non-science mysteries. Why? Science and science fiction had been so good to me. Why should I abandon a faithful wife, so to speak, to lust after some flirtatious stranger? Well, I had done science fiction. I wanted new worlds to conquer. I had always loved mystery short stories from childhood, and I wanted to do mysteries, too. Besides, if you want a less idealistic reason, I found mysteries easier to write than science fiction. My first sale of a story to EQMM did not lead to a flood of mystery writing. After all, I never lacked for other things to do. In early 1971, however, Eleanor Sullivan, the beautiful, blonde managing editor of EQMM, wrote me a letter asking for a story. Eagerly, I agreed, but now I had to think of a plot. I got one quickly, because 2 stories above our apartment lived David Ford, a corpulent actor with a resonant baritone voice. Voices, in my opinion, are much more important than faces to an actor, unless he is the vacuous matinee idol type. He invited us to his apartment once, and we found it crammed to the ceiling with what in Yiddish are called tchotchkes, that is, miscellaneous objects which strike the fancy of an omnivorous collector. He told me he once had a repairman in his apartment while he was forced to walk his dog. He was sure that the repairman had taken 1 or 2 of his tchotchkes, but he was never able to determine what was missing, or in fact whether anything was missing at all. That was all I needed. I wrote the story quickly, and it appeared in the January 1972 EQMM under the title The Acquisitive Chuckle. I thought of it as simply a story, but when it appeared, editor Fred Danay's blurb announced it as the first of a new series by Isaac Asimov. The capitalization was Danay's. That was the first I heard of that, but I was willing to go along with it. I wrote more and more stories involving the same characters. When I had written 12 and decided to have them collected in a book, Danay assumed the series was finished and said so in print. He little knew me. I continued the series stubbornly, and I have now written no fewer than 65 stories. What's the good of being a prolific writer if you don't proliferate? I call the series the Black Widower stories because each one takes place at one of the monthly banquets of a club of that name. The club is modeled unabashedly on a real club of which I am a member, the Trapdoor Spiders. The stories are entirely conversational, The six club members discuss matters in a quarrelsome, idiosyncratic way. There is a guest who is asked questions after dinner and whose answers reveal some sort of mystery which the Black Widowers cannot solve, but which in the end is solved by the waiter, Henry. Eventually, the various Black Widower stories were published 12 at a time by Doubleday. The books that have appeared so far are Tales of the Black Widowers, 1974, More Tales of the Black Widowers, 1976, Casebook of the Black Widowers, 1980, Banquets of the Black Widowers, 1984, Puzzles of the Black Widowers, 1990. I have written 5 more stories that will be included in a 6th volume someday when the new total reaches 12. In the 1970s and 1980s, I wrote something like 120 mystery short stories, far more than the number of science fiction short stories I wrote in that period. I don't think that will change. I enjoy the mysteries more. Let me explain this. Those 120 mysteries are old-fashioned. Modern mysteries are more and more exercises in police procedurals, private-eye dramatics, and psychopathology, all of them tending to give us heaping handfuls of sex and violence. The older mysteries, in which there are a closed series of suspects and a brilliant detective, often amateur, weaving his clever chain of inference and deduction, seem to be, for the most part, gone. They are referred to nowadays with a vague air of contempt as cozy mysteries, and their heyday was Great Britain in the 1930s and 1940s. The great cozy writers were people such as Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Niall Marsh, Marjorie Allingham, Nicholas Blake, and Michael Innes. Well, that's what I write. I make no secret of the fact that in my mysteries I use Agatha Christie as my model. In my opinion, her mysteries are the best ever written, far better than the Sherlock Holmes stories, and Hercule Poirot is the best detective fiction has seen. Why should I not use as my model what I consider the best? What's more, every last one of my mysteries is an armchair detective story. The story is revealed in conversation, the clues are presented fairly, and the reader has a reasonable chance to beat the fictional detective to the solution. Sometimes readers do exactly that, and I get triumphant letters to that effect. On rare occasions, I even get letters pointing out improved solutions. Old-fashioned? Certainly. But so what? Other people, in writing mystery stories, have their purposes, which may be to instill a sense of adventure, or a grisly sense of horror, or whatever. It is my purpose, in my mysteries, and in actual fact, in everything I write, fiction and non-fiction, to make people think. In fact, I find them a challenge, like writing limericks, since the rules for preparing honest puzzle stories are so strict. This means, incidentally, that the stories do not have to involve pathological acts or violent crime, or indeed any crime at all. One of the mysteries that I had most fun in writing recently was Lost in a Space Warp, which appeared in the March 1990 EQMM. It dealt with a man who mislaid his umbrella in his girlfriend's small apartment and couldn't find it. From the information he gave, Henry deduced where it could be found without stirring from his position at the sideboard. What's more, I don't intend to alter the format of these stories. They will stay always the same. The guest of the Black Widowers will always have a mystery to tell, the Black Widowers will always be stumped, and Henry will always come up with the solution. Why not? The background is an artificial one designed only to present the puzzle. What I intend is to have the reader greet each new story with the comfortable feeling of encountering old friends, meeting the same characters under the same circumstances, and having a fresh mind stretcher over which to try to outguess me. And in his penultimate Black Widowers collection, Banquets of the Black Widowers, he wrote, "And so I say farewell once again, and very reluctantly. There are few stories I write that I enjoy as much as I enjoy my Black Widowers, and having written 48 of them altogether has not in the least diminished my pleasure or worn out their welcome to my typing fingers. I can't guarantee that this is true of my readers, but I certainly hope it is."